I've started.
Yeah, I thought you would have done.
Fucking ruined everything.
Yeah, you do.
Ready to rockin'?
I think we should just have that as the intro.
What, me getting annoyed at you for starting later than me?
Yeah.
Fine, that's the fucking intro done.
Fine.
Welcome everyone to this latest episode of A Bloody Mess Podcast where Jen and Jim fight because he's an arsehole.
And Chen's got the hump again.
Welcome back to the latest episode of A Bloody Mess, a badly researched true crime podcast. In the last episode we finished up at a critical point in the Rob Black saga. Black had been captured, tried, and convicted, and imprisoned, but there's still more to come.
That's right. Sit back and get ready for more nonsense interrupted with true crime.
Ha 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 ha, we're so funny.
I should have interrupted you there, really, shouldn't I?
There's been a murder of podcast. A bloody mess. Last episode saw Hector Clark heading up an investigative team looking into all the suspected murderers Black may or may not have committed. Clark was adamant that Black was responsible for the murders we've discussed. That's of Jennifer Cardi, Susan Maxwell, Caroline Hogg, and Sarah Harper. So much so that he came out with,
"That's our man. I'd bet my life on it."
After he had an interview with Black. Clark sent his men to interview Black and tried to get him to admit to the murders. After 6 hours of questions where Black openly admitted to having sexually assaulted in excess of 30 girls between 1960 and 1980, the interview stated that they had evidence of Black refueling near Portobello. They had a witness description matching Black's appearance and even a drawing matching his appearance.
I mean, to be fair, going off his heavy build and bald head, it could have just been a circle with a grumpy face drawn in it.
Just a potato with a sad face.
Hit this potato.
However, when they openly asked him directly to confess to the murders to end the suffering of the victim's family, Black did not respond.
Now, I suppose this relates in part to the statement he made in the first episode about him being so detached from the act of killing that he viewed it almost as a spectator, seeing it as theatre behind a stage curtain. Perhaps if you attaching that whole event to a victim and a family, it ruins the pantomime for him, and he makes it too real. Like, he's not in the moment at this point. He's uncomfortable, and he's being interrogated. Basically, like, imagine opening your laptop at work, and it's still be playing the most recent adult video you watched. The context is everything.
Exactly, that's a very, very good point. I don't think I'll bring this up later, but in the research I did, he was asked later on in life, why did he never admit to the murders? Why did he never deny the murders? Because he could have just said, no, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
And his answer to that was, because I couldn't.
Oh. But is that also, do you think there's an element of him wanting to claim responsibility for the notoriety aspect?
He loved the notoriety. He loved the police search. We'll touch on that later on. It's something he says later on as well.
Yeah.
He loved that. He was just a very mysterious man. Some people called him the human Rubik's Cube.
Really? Some people called him that fat pedo bastard.
We'll stick with that name. That's the episode title.
Okay. Good luck getting new listeners. This Facebook promotion keeps denying the episode called Fat Pedo Bastard. Why is that?
Despite this interview not really leading any more towards Black being the culprit to the murders, Clark was still adamant Black was his man. So the investigation continued to gather enough evidence to convince the Crown prosecution to start more legal proceedings against Black. Black also refused to assist with any more investigations, as was his legal right.
I suppose that makes sense. He's not contributing to his downfall. I kind of get that.
I get that. For the benefit of those of you who have come straight to the third episode of this saga, we know who you are. But just to catch up, Black is already in jail for life at this moment for the abduction of a girl. He's been caught. He didn't kill her, but he was probably going to, and he's been caught, so he's in jail. This is all while he's in jail, someone's trying to still get him for the murders that we've spoken about already. I hope that made some sort of sense. Clark and his team got in touch with Black's previous employer and managed to get a hold of delivery schedules and petrol receipts. They discovered that Black had in fact made scheduled delivery runs to the areas that in which the abductions had occurred. For example, Black made a delivery 150 yards away from where Sarah Harper was last seen alive, refueling his van very close as well. When they dug deeper into times and signatures, when I say deeper, they had over 7 million credit card records.
Now, if you took these 7 million credit card records and placed them end to end, I am joking, by the way.
Was that it?
That's it, yeah.
I thought you were going to go on about something. And in October 1990, they concluded that Black had paid for fuel right before or after each child abduction.
It's almost as if they're ready his vehicle for a getaway and a long-distance journey.
Exactly, that's exactly what I thought as well. Dirty bastard. The police also discovered that Black would use a place belonging to his landlord's son to sleep in overnight while he was away. This was in a place called Donisthorpe. This was conveniently located very close to the location where all the bodies had been discovered.
Right, so this may have been somewhere that he took the victims to before he disposed of them. So it almost explains why he chose that location to dump the bodies. And well, it also adds support to the theory that he's not wildly dumping bodies and acting without a plan. It shows some serious premeditation.
Oh, yeah. I firmly believe he had a large amount of premeditation, if that's even a correct sentence.
He basically thought it all out. Yeah.
I think that's too.
That was a fine sentence. That was made perfect grammatical sense.
So by December 1990, the team had what they believed to be enough evidence to open legal proceedings against Robert Black for the abduction and murders of Susan Maxwell, Caroline Hogg, and Sarah Harper, along with the attempted abduction of Teresa Thornhill. The evidence was put forward in May 1991, and at a news conference held on the 11th of March 1992, Hector Clark informed the press that
criminal proceedings have been issued on the authority of the Crown Prosecution Service against Robert Black.
But before we go into the trial, I think we've mentioned in the last two episodes that Black has been linked to so many more crimes that have never been 100% proven. So I just want to take the time to mention some of them that he's never been convicted for. But from what we've read and researched, it's likely to be him. There's just not enough evidence at this time. Bear with us here. 8th of April 1969. April Fab 13. Fab was last seen cycling from Metton, Norfolk?
Norfolk.
Towards her... Scottish people can't say that. How'd you say it?
Norfolk.
Norfolk.
Norway. That's it, yeah. 8th of April, 1969. April Fab 13. Fab was last seen cycling from Merton, Norfolk, towards his sister's home in Ruthen, Norfolk, or Roughton, depends if you want to say it correctly or not. Her bicycle was found in a field on the route she had taken, but her body has never been found. 21st of May, 1973. Christine Markham, 9. A Scunthorpe schoolgirl last seen walking to school. Her body has never been found. Black was questioned about potential involvement in her abduction in 2004. Sadly, there's only so much you can do about something 30 years later. 19th of August, 1978. Jeanette Tate, 13. Abducted whilst delivering newspapers in Aylesbury, Devon. Her bicycle was found in a country lane by two girls she'd spoken to minutes before, but her body has never been found. Black made numerous deliveries of posters to the southwest of England in 1978. 28th of July in 1979, Suzanne Lawrence, 14. Lawrence was last seen leaving her sister's home in Harold Hill, northeast London. Although her body has never been found, Lawrence's name was added to a list of Black's possible victims in July 1994. 16th of June 1980, Patricia Morris, 14. Disappeared from the grounds of her comprehensive school, her fully clothed body was found in Hounslow Heath 2 days after her disappearance. She had been strangled with a ligature. 4th of November 1981, Pamela Hastie, 16. Her bludgeoned and strangled body was found in Johnston, Renfrewshire, in 1981 November. One eyewitness was adamant that he'd seen a man matching Black's description running from the crime scene, but police do not believe Black was near Renfrewshire at the time of Hastie's murder. Also, the bludgeoning, that's not really his modus operandi either.
No, it's not.
Perhaps it's not, but then again, they might know more than us.
Also, she's a bit older than usual, 16. She might have looked younger. Yeah.
Exactly. Ireland, 18th of March 1977. Mary Boyle, 6. A Kincastler schoolgirl who disappeared whilst visiting her grandparents in Ballyshannon. Black is known to have been in County Donegal at the time of her disappearance. Sadly, her body has never been found. Germany. 20th of June 1985. Silke Garben, 10. Garben was a Detmold schoolgirl who disappeared on her way to a dental appointment. Her body was found in a stream the next day after her disappearance. She had been sexually assaulted and strangled. Black is known to have made a delivery of posters to a British Army base close to Garvin's home on the date of her disappearance. He's definitely done that one.
100%.
Netherlands.
Pedo bastard.
Exactly. 5th of August 1986. Cheryl Morien, 7. Morien disappeared as she walked to her friend's house in the Dutch city of Ijmuiden. Her body has never been found. Black made regular trips to nearby Amsterdam to buy child pornography. Again, that's pretty likely that it's him.
Yeah.
France. 5th of May 1987. Virginie Delmar, 10. Abducted from Neuilly-sur-Marne on 5th of May 1987. Her nude body was found in a Paris orchard on 9th of October. Oh, God, that's a long time.
That is a long time, isn't it? Jesus.
Oh, God, I bet that was horrific. Delmar had been strangled. The extent of decomposition prevented the pathologist determining whether she had been sexually assaulted before death. Black made several deliveries in and around Paris on the date of Delmar's disappearance. That's oh, God. 30th of May, 1987. Hemmer Greed Harry, 10. Discovered in the Paris suburb of Malakoff, 2 hours after she was last seen alive, she'd been raped and strangled. Black is known to have regularly travelled upon the road where Greed Harry's body was found when making deliveries in northern France. 3rd of June 1987, Perrine Vigneron, 7. Vigneron disappeared on her way to buy a Mother's Day card in Boulers en route to attending a pottery course. Her strangled body was discovered in a rapeseed field in Chelles on 27th of June. A white van had been seen in Boulers on the day of Vigneron's disappearance. That's going to be him as well.
It's got to be, but think how many white vans are actually out there.
Yeah, true, I suppose so. 27th of June 1987, Sabine Dumont, 9. A Paris schoolgirl last seen alive in Bievre on 27th of June. Her strangled and sexually assaulted body was found the following day in the commune of Vaux-Halland. Black was named as the prime suspect in Dumont's murder in 2011. It's also likely that there were many more that either weren't reported or weren't linked to this investigation.
Excellent. Thank you very much for reading that for me, because I tried one and I struggled big time.
You're welcome. I just like to hear my own voice.
Back to the story. It took a while for the case to be heard in court, as there were so many pre-trials. These were done to decide whether or not Black could be tried together or separately on each accusation, and whether or not similarities between the cases could be used as evidence. By the end of this two-year process, it was decided that Black could be tried against all four cases together, and that any links between them could be used. In fact, the only thing the prosecution couldn't use was a transcript from one of interview with Black. The prosecution rightfully described the case as every parent's nightmare in an opening statement lasting 5 hours. Pointed towards his previous record, and also described in detail the events of each abduction, even claiming the victims may have been alive and suffering for hours and days after abduction.
I suppose with the development of knowing that he had access to that house or flat nearby, that does support that as well, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%. On the second day of the trial, the prosecution brought forward witnesses of events on the days of abduction and discovery of the bodies. They brought forward petrol receipts, one witness testimony from Hector Clark at one point admitting,
"I don't believe there's been a bigger crime investigation in the United Kingdom ever, especially headed up by a man as handsome as me."
We'll take that statement with a pinch of salt. The defence was mainly centred around how accurate the witness statements were, and these crimes had been committed so long before the trial. Every time, every recollection was questioned, if it differed from someone else's recollection. They also pointed out that Black was so open about his paedophile tendencies, and that he did not mean, and that did not mean he was a murderer, just a dirty bastard. Again, I don't think they said those exact words. Also, the police had been searching for Killer for nearly 10 years, and that cost over £1 million, so they're trying to use Black as some sort of scapegoat, even saying in his closing statements,
"The police have become exhausted in not finding anyone. The public are clamouring for a result. What good are you if you can't catch a child killer? Is Mr. Black their salvation, or a convenient, expendable scapegoat?"
That guy's a prick, honestly. I can understand why you have to have lawyers for defending people who've committed awful crimes, and yes, you need to make sure they get a fair trial, and you need to make sure that, you know, the system is, everything's carried out correctly, but why would you try and get him off?
Exactly, yeah, he's already in life, in prison for life, just don't even put any effort in.
Yeah, I mean, not being funny, if I was a defense lawyer and he said to me, he admitted that he was into children, I'd be like, "So how long is your sentence going to be then?" I just would go straight to sentencing. I wouldn't even try and get him off.
He'd be like, exactly.
"You, sir, are a danger to society."
Yeah, no, exactly. Especially if they plead guilty in that.
Yeah, what color would you like your prison uniform to be?
But, you know, it's their job. And they've probably, and defense lawyers have probably won cases for people that aren't guilty, so give them their defense there.
True.
But not Robert Black, he's a dirty bastard.
Exactly. Technical term. That is a legal term.
It is, yeah, dirty bastard. You are hereby charged with being a dirty bastard. Yeah. The deliberation of the jury took 2 days.
Much like the recording of this podcast.
They were instructed to look at all the evidence and not Black's criminal past, but that's very difficult to do.
Yeah.
On May the 19th, 1994... Black was found guilty on 3 counts of kidnapping, 3 counts of murder, and 3 counts of perverting the lawful burial of a body, and 1 count of attempted abduction.
I do like that crime of preventing a lawful burial, because it's one that you can... I don't like the crime, I like the charge, because it's something add on, and it's something you can charge people with, like... It's just something you don't think about, but it's very... crucial. It's like, it's not right if a relative dies for you to just keep them in your house.
Yeah.
You know, I do like that. I think that's a good law that we have.
It's good. I didn't know it existed until I did this research.
Yeah, no, I've seen it before.
You did this research and then I read it.
One of the ones they do is they charge it for people who, because often if people have children, I nearly said incognito, that's not the right word, but in secret, clandestine childbirth, and then they want to hide it a lot of the time, or even if like the child dies during childbirth or something, there are tales of people digging up the gardens, finding the body of a child, like a newborn baby, and then whoever was responsible for that, because they can't charge them with the murder, but they have charged them with preventing lawful burial.
Okay. That's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good.
So Black was now sentenced to life imprisonment for each count and recommended that he serves a minimum of 35 years on each of the 3 murder charges. So this guy was never getting out.
Good.
The judge would finish the trial by saying that Black...
offences which were unlikely to ever be forgotten and which represent a man at his most vile.
Which is, truer words have never been more spoken. Truer words have never been spoken.
True words have never been more spoken.
Exactly. Sentences.
Yes.
After the trial was over...
Bad man go bye-bye.
Bad man bye-bye. Have you seen The Bye-Bye Man? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I've seen that. I've not seen the film. I've seen the poster. Is it any good?
I've seen the... No, I don't know. I've not seen it. It's on Netflix, I'm sure.
Sorry, I'm choking.
Should we both watch it tonight?
Yeah, we should.
Fine, we'll watch The Bye-Bye Man. I'm sure it's on Netflix. If it's not on Netflix, we'll both watch something tonight and text each other.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that. That reminds me, I've been asked to go on another podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Where you just watch a film together and just record a conversation and ask questions. And I don't know. I've never heard of this concept before, but it's done a few episodes. So that should be getting recorded this week, maybe. I'll text him later. Good. Where were we?
I was having a coughing fit.
Have you got the COVID?
I think I've got the Rona, yeah.
The Rona. We don't think he does, so it's fine in case anyone's shouting at us. Just a little cough.
Just make sure you wash your hands before you touch the podcast.
Exactly. After the trial was over, Black was not fazed, and when he got up to leave, he turned to all the detectives that were present and said,
"Tremendous. Well done, boys."
I can't remember, it was this episode or the last episode where I thought he loved the chase. I said that I thought he loved the chase. He loved people coming after him, and that sentence there kind of summed that up for me.
Yeah, he loves the fact that they were after him, and they must have done such a good job in order to catch him.
Exactly. And to be fair, they did.
Oh, they did do a fantastic job, yeah.
Maybe not to catch him. That was a stroke of luck because he drove back to where he abducted a girl from. That's how he got caught, but the work gone into the evidence to bring him back to trial, even though he's in prison, was actually tremendous. So well done, boys.
Yeah.
Black would go on to Wakefield Prison and begin his sentence as a Category A prisoner. What's a Category A prisoner?
I was going to look it up, but I realised that it might not be interesting me reading prison classifications. I can't speak. I presume it's violent lifers.
So generally speaking, Category A prisoners are reserved for inmates who have been determined a threat to the public, the police, or national security.
Is that not everyone in prison? That's because if you're not a threat to the police, the public, or national security, you shouldn't be in prison.
Okay, so here we go. I've got more things here. So you've got attempted murder, manslaughter, wounding with intent, rape, indecent assault, robbery, conspiracy to rob with firearms, firearm offences, importing or supplying, possession class A drugs, possession or supplying explosives. So what other crimes are there that you could rob without firearms? That's not here.
So you could rob with a crossbow. Rob with half a brick. Rob with a sword. Fraud, embezzlement, larceny.
Yeah, so that's a Category A prisoner. And while I'm on Google, it's got all these, you know, when you Google something, it's got all the questions underneath.
Yeah.
So let's see. Who is Britain's longest serving prisoner?
It'd be Charles Bronson, wouldn't it?
Well, according to this, it is Patrick Mackay, who was jailed after a murder spree across London and Kent in 1975.
I'm not saying we should let people off or let people go, but what good is that serving, keeping that man in there?
What do you think it should be done with him?
I think he shouldn't just be locked in a box, rotting away. He should be either some work towards rehabilitation somehow. Then again, I don't know what he did. He could have been killing kids with a Stanley knife for all we know.
Yeah, and maybe he's tried rehabilitation and it's not worked.
Yeah, you're right. But you know what I mean, though? There shouldn't be any situation which means we're locking someone up for 45 years.
Yeah. Yeah, just put them down.
Maybe.
So, are we done yet?
No.
What about the murder we discussed in the first episode? The one in Northern Ireland. Jennifer Cardy.
Oh, yes.
If this is right at the start of the first episode.
Wow, so are we December just going to start the podcast again?
Yeah, you have to go back and listen to all three episodes, then come back here, then start the loop again. It's like that film, Looper.
What's that said about?
I can't remember. I'm pretty sure I watched that and I was like, this doesn't make any sense at all. But I do that with a lot of films.
Looper is one of the films that probably if you weren't paying attention in the first bit, you won't get it.
You know what other film I didn't understand?
Go on.
Jurassic Park.
Proceed.
On December 15th, 2009, after going through 500,000 petrol receipts, Northern Ireland investigators charged Robert Black with the abduction and murder of Jennifer Cardy back in 1981.
Good guys.
Evidence for this was mainly the receipts and the similarities of the injuries sustained by Cardy and Harper. And although the case took 6 weeks, the jury took 4 hours to decide that Black was guilty.
That's pretty good, though. That's a short time to decide that he was guilty, so it must have been a very compelling case.
Oh, it must have been, yeah, it must have been. Just, also, he's a dirty bastard. Maybe he had the defense lawyer was just like, you know, you're a pedo. I've got no defense.
You mean his defense lawyer was an actual human this time?
Yeah, exactly. Black was then sentenced to a further life imprisonment, and he was told he would not be considered for release until he was 89 years old. Black would never reach this, however, as on 12th of January 2016, that's my brother's birthday.
Is it?
12th of January, yeah. My brother's not four. He's like 30-something. He was born on the 12th of January 1980-something.
Well, that's a good birthday present for him in 2016, then.
There you go, yeah. Black suffered a fatal heart attack, and he was cremated with no family or friends present.
Do you think when they asked your brother what he wanted for his birthday, he just looked at them and went, justice?
Yeah, and then that's exactly what happened. Justice, and then this guy just had a heart attack and died.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, some people would call that karma. I would say that life finds a way.
See, wait.
Sorry.
When he said that he was cremated with no family or friends present, at first I was like, good, that's good that everyone's deserted him. And then I realised that he's grown up in the social care system, so he won't have any family. His mum binned him off. The Tulips had to get rid of him. He got booted out of house to house, and then he got sent to the horrible one where he was abused. And then he came out, and then moved him with someone else. Then he went to prison. So really, he didn't keep any ties around. The only people he was pals with were the Racins.
Yeah, but it sounded really good when I was like, he was cremated with no family or friends present.
Oh, no,
I did an impression of my own voice.
You know, I wasn't having a go. I just thought.
But you just deconstructed it, so now he was just cremated. He had no family. That's why there was no one there.
Do you think they cremated him with like some like dead dogs they found like running outside the prison and things like that?
What? Why would they find dead dogs?
Well, just if someone like stray dogs.
This was 2016. That's not gonna be. There's no stray dogs in the world anymore.
The dogs. They've not been all wiped out.
They have. The world's a lovely place. There's nothing going wrong in the world. Everything's tickety-boo.
I take it your TV's not working.
Oh, God, I've stopped watching the news. Oh, God. The world's gone to shit, isn't it? Right, let's wrap this up. Thank you, everyone. That's us pretty much done. Robert Black's story. 3 episodes. Go listen to them.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's pretty good. Coming up next, we're going to have a...
A tasty treat for you,
something to really get your teeth into.
Yeah,
that's right. It's a food podcast.
I keep meaning to do some sort of food related thing, whether it just be online reviews or. Oh fuck! I've got my food Instagram that I'm not.
Yeah, you've got that food Instagram you don't use anymore.
Yeah.
I went through and saved all my food pictures for you, and you've never used, you prick.
It's my food Instagram.
I was trying to help.
I'm going to send you pictures of my food later on.
Good, I want to see it. It sounds really like it's going to be really good.
Oh, they don't know what I'm having. Nah, I'm not telling you.
Oh, it's a secret.
It's a secret. So, yeah, thank you if you've made it all the way to the end again.
Thank you. Like and subscribe and share and tell us what you think and shout us from the rooftops and stay 2 meters away from everyone and wash your hands.
Unless this is like 3 years down the line you're listening to it and then you don't even know what COVID-19 is anymore. Still, you fucking want.
Well, they should still wash their hands. Christ, we're still a civilized people.
What if in 3 years' time they don't have toilet paper anymore? They've just got the 3 seashells from Demolition Man.
Well, that proves that we've we've progressed as a society.
I've always wondered how you use them. Anyway, that's a different conversation for a different day. How would you use them? So if you like what you heard, yes, you can find us on Facebook /mess podcast. Instagram, we're a bloody mess. Fuck Twitter. So yeah, thank you very much. Send us chocolate.
Thanks for having us. Speak to you soon.
See you later, motherfuckers.
Bye.